The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
There's a new documentary hitting cinemas March 7th called Twiggy, directed by Sadie Frost, who, of course, is well known from her own acting career as well as a director and a producer. Sadie, it's a very interesting documentary. It's very interesting in that it gives an insight into Twiggy as being much more interesting and multifaceted than you might have thought at first glance. It also gives a very interesting insight into class in Britain and misogyny in Britain back in the day. Before we get to all of that, your decision to pursue Twiggy as a subject, why?
So it just happened, and I was doing this the press for a documentary that I did about Mary Quant. So I was producing films, and then I got asked to direct this documentary about Mary Quant that came out a few years ago. And when I was on the press tour, I did Tea with Twiggy on her podcast. And I was kind of just joking with her, really, like just being cheeky, just like, has anyone ever done your doc? And she was saying, no, I actually don't want to do it. I've never wanted to do it. I don't want to expose myself. And I was like, go on, let me do it. And I was just pushing with her, joshing with her kind of thing. And then she turned around later and said, well, actually, I think she messaged me and said, I've changed my mind. I think you should direct the documentary, because I said I wanted to do it. And so then we met for lunch, and then I realised, actually, you know, what is the hook here? What's the story? You know, this is an amazing woman. Let's celebrate her life. But it's actually harder making a documentary about somebody that hasn't had, you know, yes, she's had some challenges in her life, but it hasn't been, you know, there hasn't been huge highs and lows. It's been quite steady. So, to keep that kind of consistency and momentum and make someone's life interesting when there hasn't been some major car crashes.
But to some extent, is that a tribute to her? I mean, because there are events in her life that, if they had happened to somebody else, might have been a car crash.
100%. And that's what's so interesting. So, you know, just being exposed at 15, 16 to be one of the most famous women in the world, you know, to be so internationally kind of known and be put on that kind of world stage forum. And you know, she was quirky, she was funny, but no major breakdowns, you know, no kind of going to rehab or kind of exploring, you know, the rock and roll drug scene, even though the kind of what was going on in the 60s and 70s. She had a great kind of upbringing. Her dad was always her rock. So she was just very kind of down to earth and very relatable for women. And she just became relevant in every decade. But, you know, she was so kind of interesting and beautiful to watch when she was younger. Then she kind of went into the film world. Then she was in the fashion world and her music. And she changed and she grew up through the years. And you know, when you go back and look at all that interesting archive of her being an actor and a singer and a model, you kind of see that she was just such a personality.
Did some of the archive come as shocking to you, or do we overestimate how much it has changed? Because you begin the documentary with a sort of a montage of mostly male, I think entirely male interviewers, asking the most invasive and chauvinistic questions about literally what are your measurements, how much do you currently weigh, one asking the bust is coming back, do you think you'll be able for the competition? Extraordinary stuff. Is it an era that's gone, or is there still a bit of that?
I mean, it's just so shocking when she was on major talk shows with very well-known interviewers, when they're asking her, she just got a Golden Globe or a Tony or been nominated for a Tony, and she was being really recognised as an actor. And then someone to say, oh, you know, how do you feel about the bosom being back? You know, the first question, or what weight are you now? You're looking a bit fuller. And, you know,
or to ask her fiancé and manager, if she put on 20 pounds, what would you call it, while she is sitting?
Yeah, I mean, while she's sitting there and you see the expression on her face and she's just kind of like dying inside. It's unbelievable the way men spoke to women then. I mean, it's just horrible and shocking. And, you know, I think people will be shocked when they see this documentary, when they do see that it has changed. There's still a way to go. There's still men will say derogatory comments about women or you know, and derogatory comments are said. So I think these kind of documentaries are really important to kind of document, well, someone's life, but time, what was happening, what were people saying? He said, there was one photographer who said, like working with models is like working in the sweet shop. You shouldn't mess around with the licorice all sorts. It's like basically saying women are like sweets and don't mess around with them. So I think this is a good reminder of you know, how far we have come, but we still need to go further. And yeah, how misogynistic those times were.
It's also remarkable in that context how well she survived, given, first of all, how young she was when she became significantly famous and the rapidity of it. Because we see X Factor now and you think, well, you know, to go in a year from nobody to world famous. She effectively went in a period of months from normal schoolgirl going to school to at least national fame, if not international.
Absolutely. She went, you know, she was known in America and Japan and a lot of places in Europe, but she became overnight sensation, but then maintained that. I mean, today you can become really famous overnight, but then you're forgotten about in 6 months or a year. But she's had a career that's she's still doing Vogue covers now. She's still heading up campaigns, Charlotte Tilbury campaign. And she's on everybody's mood board. Everybody, I think the thing about this documentary is, 18-year-olds will love this documentary, and then there'll be 80-year-olds that will love this documentary, and there'll be men and women and people in fashion and people not in fashion, because I think it really says a lot about what's happened in the last 5 decades.
Although I was intrigued, even at the end of the documentary, when you're looking at her contemporary life and the modelling for M&S, there are still people commenting on her appearance, on how she's ageing well. I think even 5 decades on, to be treated the same way is remarkable. Can I ask about the cast of characters that you got to contribute? Dustin Hoffman is one of them. Joanna Lumley is one of them. Was it difficult to get the kind of A-listers you have? I mean, Paul McCartney is in there as well. Difficult to get them to contribute?
Not really. I think there's such a love of Twiggy. People really do love her. So people like Paul McCartney, Dustin Hoffman, they really want to support her. But I needed to have people in the doc who were genuine. There's a genuine reason for them to be in the doc. So they had to, you can't just bring people in for the sake of it. So it's like, what would Paul be saying? He could comment on her being working class. They were relatable in that way. That would be the direction, the angle I would take with him. Dustin Hoffman was great because he kind of really brought humor to it and he talked about her laugh. So when I approach people, often, you know, they say yes, and then often it can't work schedule-wise, and that's frustrating. Or Dustin Hoffman might have been ill, or Paul's gone to America, Paul McCartney, and then Joanna Lumley. You know, people have very, very busy lives, so it becomes like an entity in its own, this documentary, when you're making one, people say they want to do it, and some people kind of don't make it, but it just becomes this kind of organic thing in itself, and whoever comes to the table and whatever happens and whatever archive, it happens for a reason, and you do the best you can under those circumstances.
How do you handle staying on what you see to be the right side of breaching her privacy? Because there are a couple of times where we get to discussions of relationships, where we get to discussions of marriages failing, and choices are made about how far you go and what's revealed and what's not. How do you come to those conclusions?
So I think one of the things is, I think she trusted me and I trusted her. So I said, you've got to give me something. I don't want to exploit you. I don't want to make this sensationalistic. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. But we do need to know a bit about Justin. We do need to know about Michael.
This is first husband, well, fiance, and
Justin
then second
was
husband.
Her first kind of boyfriend, fiance, manager. Michael's her husband, first husband, who was the father of Carly, who sadly passed away in a kind of very tragic kind of situation. And so I think Twiggy is a very private person. So I said, you've got to give me something. And so there was a little bit of, you know, pushing and pulling and working that out. But because I've been in the public eye and I've had people exploit me, and I'm a woman and I've been in vulnerable situations, and if I was making a documentary about my life, I know I'd want to talk about my career and all the positive things, but I know I'd have to kind of approach some of the negative things, and I would have to talk about, you know, the father of my kids and a failed marriage or whatever. But I think there is a way of discussing and approaching those situations where it's not kind of icky and making every, you know, that horrible sensation tabloid way. So I think just trust, really.
Some of the relationships you had, you mentioned Justin de Villeneuve, or what, Nigel Barrow? What was his name?
Nigel something or other. That's as Patty Boyd said.
Most remarkable. I mean, Walter Mitty character creates himself as her manager and quasi-fiancé, ends up in a relationship-ish with her when he's in his mid-20s and she's 15. Mm-hmm. Very unusual individual, very unusual setup.
Very unusual. And, you know, what I wanted to do in the doc was not be mean about him, or, you know, I didn't want anyone to kind of be nasty. I don't like that when people can be in a doc and they're being bullyish, or so I just let the archive speak for itself and let what happened, happen. You know, I think he's a very charismatic man. He, you know, did what he did. But in those times, older men did date younger women in those situations. But I want to respect everyone, but I put it out there so the audience can have their own opinion about whether they thought what he was doing was right or wrong. But you know, he kind of did some good things for her career and he protected her, but he also exploited her too.
You get the sense that in a number of the relationships, there was a difficult, I mean, the same is probably true with Michael. I think maybe you would obviously know better than I. But you got a sense that Twiggy's fame and success was problematic for both of those men.
Yeah, I think when a woman becomes that powerful and has her career and is the one that's shining, you know, the man next to the woman will be intimidated and feel kind of emasculated, and they will challenge that. And you can see when he's just talking about, oh, Twiggy was, when Justin was speaking about Twiggy, oh, she's phony, she's, you know, she's past it, or... He's really enjoying saying those things, and she's just sitting there like biting her lip, and she doesn't want to turn around on national TV and start having an argument. But he's pushing buttons while she's live on air. Like when she gets asked, when they get asked if they're engaged, and he goes yeah, and she's just going they've obviously had an argument just before they've gone on to the studio. So all of that stuff with those two is really interesting storytelling. But I think they just didn't like living they weren't the focus, and she was always, and she always will be the focus.
I hadn't realised as well the spectrum of how successful she was. Broadway run, Golden Globes, successful chat show, and a very successful singing career as well. Is that one of the things that you have found in doing publicity? Do people greatly underestimate her?
I think so. I think people just... they just remember the beginning bit when she became famous and what's going on now, maybe with Charlotte Tilbury. They forget everything that happened in the middle. And I think that's why she's so happy about this doc, because her life can be appreciated and celebrated. And people, when we did the screening at the Dublin Film Festival, the amount of women that came up, they had tears in their eyes. They were laughing. They felt so happy to know about this woman's life, and they enjoyed it. It was like taking them on such a kind of journey through things that they could recognise, eras that they could, you know, want to remember or celebrate. And they were like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I forgot she had a TV show and all the amazing things that she's done. And I think everybody from, you know, people that are seeing the film and the festivals that are really celebrating the film, everybody feels the same, that they had no idea.
But also the level of work that went into it. I mean, because you showed the preparation for the sort of song and dance routines for on Broadway and then the Royal Albert Hall. There's this lovely piece where she's singing with Bing Crosby, and Crosby refuses to lip sync. So it has to be done live with her and him at a piano. There's no auto-tune, there's no post-production support, and she is phenomenal.
She's got a voice like an angel. I mean, that performance, I just wanted that performance so bad, because it's so beautiful with the two of them, how they interact and the singing. And I think some of these things you have to approach the estate, and there's months of legal stuff. You can't just choose something and put it in a documentary. There's lots of sign-offs. And the archive is very, very expensive. But it was really important to have that clip of her and Bing Crosby. It's a very emotional moment and a beautiful song.
Are those sort of things easier for you as producer as well as director by virtue of your fame and being in that industry? Can you make those calls easy?
No, not really. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. I think, I think filmmaking is hard. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're kind of starting out or, you know, some really, really established directors and producers who have a lot of money behind them. Filmmaking's hard. A lot of films don't even get finished. So, you know, when you're making it, there's a whole anxiety when you're making the film. Happen with this, happen with Quant. Are we going to run out of money? Is everyone going to give up? Is it going to get distribution? Is it going to get into festivals? So there's that anxiety. I think the thing that helps me is that I've been in the industry in whatever capacity since I was 4 years old. I started acting, modelling when I was four. I've known the industry in so many different ways. And I know that you have to have a really strong sense of yourself about, you know, a film, a project isn't the making of you. It's just a job. And you want to do the best you can at that job, but you also have to be healthy, happy, have a good family life, and all the things that Twiggy kind of says.
But the phone calls don't get picked up quicker because you're Sadie Frost rather than Jane Doe.
A lot of times people don't pick up the phone, you know, and the rejections can be even harder when you kind of ring a friend and say, oh, I'd love you to be in the stock, I think you'd be good, or would you help me find a choreographer for this moment? And people don't even reply because everyone is busy and everybody is kind of doing stuff. So people, you have to just put the work in, work really hard. So this was 3 years' work. I had a great team around me. I have brilliant editor, brilliant producers, all, you know, the archive researchers. So I have to be driven and focused, and all the people around me have to be. But, you know, you can email, so I could email somebody, you know, the Netflix or the BBC and whatever, and try and get an appointment. They might not ever reply. I've just got to work hard, but Quant's done well, this has done well. I've got another couple of docs that I want to do. But I don't take anything for granted.
Please tell me one of them is Joanna Lumley.
Well, I'd love to do Joanna Lumley. God, she is...
She is brilliant in this.
Gold dust. Yeah, no, I think it would be good. I would like to do another woman. So there's the three women. So I have three women. So, you know, Quant, Mary Quant, Twiggy and one others. But the next two docs are...
Sorry, do you know who the other is?
No, I need to find that. But maybe Joanna Lumley would be good. I think now it's a bit of a waiting game. People, finances, platforms, producers need to see this film, see if they like it. Maybe they'll say, let's do, I'd like to have done Patty Boyd, but I think someone else is doing Patty Boyd. Someone's just done Marian Faithfull. But there must be another woman to go with that, you know, with that segment. And the other two docs that I'm working on at the moment are completely different. But it's nice to kind of, nice if you have a proper package.
You talked about 3 years of work. At what point are you able to relax and say job done? Is it when it gets distribution? Is it when you see it with an audience?
So I'm saying, because I keep saying, when I get to so-and-so, to my friends, I can see you. That's been going on for months, years, you know, and I'm now saying the end of March, the 28th of March, I'll be officially unemployed from this project. But that's been, 3 years from the start, from the prep to then. And then it'll be in April, May, June in some other festivals, and it will be shown on the BBC, so there'll be a bit of press. But I need to move on and get my teeth into something else in April.
Well, in the interim, congratulations on the unemployment and congratulations on a very, very entertaining documentary. It's called Twiggy, and it's going to be in cinemas from March 7th. That's Sadie Frost. Sadie, thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.